Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mapping Our Culinary World, where today we are back in Africa, going to Tanzania. And I am here with good buddy of the pod, always coming on and being that ray of sunshine, Joel. How's it going, Joel?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I am doing great. I am here looking at Tanzania information. I feel like Tanzania, if somebody said, where is that located? I would just know Africa, and that's it. Other than that, I don't know much about Tanzania.
Honestly, you're probably beating out a lot of people. Like, right. There's a lot of people would be like, they might even misplace it, like, outside of Africa.
Eastern
just
Europe,
be like,
right?
I don't know. That's in, like, Australia, right?
It's where the vampires are, right?
The Tasmanian devils, right? They're Tanzanian devils.
Tanzanian.
No, yeah. That's not right.
Nope. Not the same ones, guys.
You
not
got the correct ones. Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Barely.
But yeah, last time we were in Slovakia, the time before that, we were in Qatar, and then Central African Republic. And so we have hopped around, but we've stayed in this like line, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. We haven't hopped into Asia yet.
Might be a conspiracy.
I know. Yeah, so this is a culinary convo conspiracy. Yeah, we've been to Singapore. Other than that, yeah, Asia, like as in Southeast Asia, I should say, has eluded us. It has kind of, yeah, so we'll see by the end of this if we hop over there or if we go elsewhere. But Tanzania, the general location, it's officially called the United Republic of Tanzania. It is a country in East Africa within the African Great Lakes region. It borders Uganda to the north, Kenya to the northeast, Comoro Islands and the Indian Ocean to the east, Mozambique and Malawi to the south, and Zambia to the southwest, and Rwanda, Burundi, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo to the west. Mount Kilimanjaro, Africa's highest mountain, is in northeastern Tanzania. And so it's like it's almost the heart there of Africa. It is near so many things. And it's got Kilimanjaro.
It's a busy area around there.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
Like I said, Kilimanjaro, everybody and their mom has heard of Mount Kilimanjaro in some way. Everybody acts like it's like a spiritual journey, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. You know, that's kind of the way that they put it. What's your take on climbing mountains? My take has always been it's kind of a weird thing to do.
I ain't gonna knock it per se,
right.
But it does seem like a very like rich person hobby.
I think
I climb mountains. And it's just I don't have time. I have a full time job, so
I can't just go high.
Yeah, I can't just climb into the atmosphere. I'm stuck down here in the smog with the rest of the pores.
Well, and there's a part of me that I think it's because of air travel. Like, if I can get in an airplane and just fly at however many thousands of feet in the air, why do all that work? Like, climbing up, and it's not even as high as an airplane.
To push your body to its limits.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's why there's so many bodies on Mount Everest.
Yeah, exactly.
People
pushed and they pushed a little too hard.
They did. They just kept going. And it's like you were saying, I don't want to knock it because like there is a certain adventurism to it.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Very like adventurous. Like, it's definitely like a feat of resilience to climb a whole mountain, so I can see why it's like labeled as like a spiritual journey for people, but it does seem like that's reserved for people that have time for that stuff,
right?
To me,
right?
Maybe I'm biased.
Here's a good confirmation bias, I think, of that is you don't go to like the Burger King drive-through or your local liquor store and hear the person serving you go, yeah, well, I just got back from Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, no.
So
like, that's for people usually, who like, they probably work 10 hours a week, if that, and they're just mostly doing emails, and they're like, I have a board meeting going on on Tuesday, so I can't climb Mount Kilimanjaro then. Maybe I'll get back to it like next week or something. Yeah.
Just I'll
like,
just have to safari, guys. I can't do Kilimanjaro as well. I gotta just safari.
Like, if somebody told me that they had climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, then I would be like, that's fantastic. I immediately think they're more pompous and they have a giant ego.
Right.
But then I'm like, okay, it is like, it's genuinely interesting. So I'm torn.
It is. It's kind of that, like you were saying, it's interesting because you're like, how did you get there? What was it like?
Exactly. Like, I want to know the step-by-step.
Yeah. What forced you to think, oh, I need to climb that? Like, you know, I mean, I barely had that kind of curiosity for trees in my yard. Why did you go to Africa to do this? That's kind of what I wanted.
To have something to spend your money on, I guess.
Yeah. And it's a trip, right? Like, it's something you can tell people. Yeah.
You can take pictures and put them on Instagram and get lots of likes.
Oh, tons. Yeah. Especially if you do it with, like, an antelope up at the top, you know. Or, like, there's a lion at your feet, you know, that kind of thing.
I was going to say, I don't think, like, lions or antelopes are going to get anywhere near Mount Kilimanjaro.
Right,
I'm pretty sure those are plain beasts.
Right, they are. And that's why it's all the more impressive. They're like, oh, my gosh, you drug a lion
all the way up Mount Kilimanjaro? That's so crazy.
Didn't have to. Dog collar.
And then,
and a leash went right up the mountain.
And then you sacrifice it on the top, and you wear its skull on the way down.
Pretty cool,
so unique.
Because I am the plains.
Yeah. I am the plains.
Yeah.
On the mountain.
On the mountain.
On the mountain top.
Anyway, besides Kilimanjaro.
You yell Simba.
And everybody's like, dude, this guy.
But like, it's an amazing feat to say. It is. So I shouldn't knock it too hard, but it does seem like.
I ain't done it.
I'm probably not ever going to be able to afford to do it. So that's my stance on it. Just like, I could, but only if I won like the lottery or something. So.
Right. It's like you were saying, it is very much a like, I have X amount of gross / net income per year. And
you got to be able to take 2 weeks off.
Right.
Who's going to be able to do that?
Yeah.
Taking Who does 2 weeks off of work?
Yeah. We're Americans, not Europeans.
We're not as fortunate as some people that have like a society structured for, common sense.
Yeah, normal living. Yeah, we don't do that. But in Tanzania, their currency is the Tanzanian shilling or the TC.
Shilling.
Yeah, the shilling. That's how you know it was a colony at some point.
Yep.
TZS is the acronym for it. Their population, which this is surprising to me, 61,193,226 as of 2021. Only reason I find that surprising is because of all their natural stuff, you know, the Kilimanjaro. They obviously have a national park within their boundaries. So I'm kind of like, wow, that's still a lot of people for, you know, like, wow. So who knows? I mean, one day, maybe, just maybe, they will start becoming an economic powerhouse because of climate-related stuff. You never know.
I doubt it, but you never know.
You never know. I'm throwing that opportunity out there.
Yeah. I'm going to be a pessimist and say probably not.
Yeah. The land area of Tanzania is 947,000 square kilometers, which is about 365,756 square miles. It is the 30th largest country by land area. The official languages are Swahili first and English second. And then their capital city is Dodoma, which is not their largest city, which this is like the first country in a long time where their capital and largest city were not the same. So I'm excited. So yeah, but the interesting quote here, I've got a couple for Tanzania, some pretty interesting ones here. The first one from Julius Nyerere, I believe is how you, Nyerere, is in Tanzania, it was more than 100 tribal units which lost their freedom. It was one nation that regained it. So nice little like collective quote there. Like,
yeah, I like that.
All of us as tribal people lost our land, but then we gained it back together, you know. Definitely, yeah, Americans can't say that.
No.
Yeah.
They took any of the tribes and kind of relegated them to certain areas and certain stuff.
Certain little spots.
You know, just that colonialism. We just can't. We can keep circling back to it. But
I know.
It is really the woe of all ales. So.
Yeah. But yeah. And the city of Zanzibar is in Tanzania. And it says, for the rest of my life, this is author Christine K. Stevens. She says, for the rest of my life, Zanzibar will be the Swahili word for rain. The rain would drizzle, spit, mist, downpour, shower, torrent, gust, deluge, and blast. At one point, it hit the ground so hard it created a haze as it bounced back up 2 feet and fell a second time.
Wow.
Yeah. So when it rains, it rains.
It was like Forrest Gump. Sometimes it seemed like the rain was coming up.
Yeah. Christine K. Stevens. The American author, Forrest Gump. All I know when I hear about like deserts and Africa, when it rains, it seems like it doesn't stop. That's what I always hear. Like it goes for days and days. And so that's kind of the thing that I always hear. And then quotes that are actually from basically this guide here. It is 12 beautiful Kiswahili proverbs from Tanzania. And there's just a few here that I'd like to go over. One is every bird flies with its own wings.
So that's okay.
Okay. Hurry, hurry has no blessings. See, live life relaxed. Because sometimes you can taste the crazy, as Sam King would say.
As Sam King would say.
Yeah.
We all miss him.
Yeah. Oh, to the, deep missing. Deep missing of that. A heart deep in love has no patience. Yeah. That's a good one, actually. Because I can admit, when you're in the throes of a new relationship, you just want to get moving.
Sweeping of the feet, like getting swept off your feet, is very real. So.
Very real. Yeah, yeah. Then there's another one here. Better to lose your eyes than your heart. And then another one here, which this is one, I'm saying this out loud right now so that anybody listening to this, I'm not going to Google it. I could. I don't know if I'd find it. Who knows? But this is a proverb that I truly do not know kind of really what it means. He who praises rain has been rained on.
Okay.
I'm like if you've had good times and you're praising those good times, then you've had the good times. Or is it bad times? Like, he who praises the bad times has gone through some bad times.
Well, maybe it's like simpler, like he who praises joy has joy. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that makes it a little bit of a.
Yeah. That maybe might. That.
I don't know, but maybe.
Yeah. If anybody knows Swahili or is from Tanzania or is from Africa or is, an American, citizen, but knows a lot about African proverbs, let us know at culinaryconvopod@gmail.com. You can drop us a line or on any one of our social medias, Instagram, Twitter. I don't mind. I'll take a look. And then another one here, which this one, I think this is, my father said something similar when I was like 17. He said, Devin, you need to pick whatever job or career path you want to go towards before somebody else picks it for you. Like, I was like, what does he mean by that? And he's like, you could go into the military or you're doing some other dumb job you're not good at. And I'm like, oh, okay. And but this one is don't set sail using somebody else's star. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's pretty good. They apparently came up with the phrase where there's a will, there's a way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you love a pumpkin, also love its flower. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Joel.
Yeah.
If you love that pumpkin, you got to love its flower. And then
I don't like pumpkin.
I love pumpkin. Love it. A hasty person misses the sweetest or the sweet things. Yeah. And then better to stumble with toe than tongue. Yeah. Yeah.
Stumble with toe than with tongue.
Yeah. Basically, it's better to trip and fall on your face than misspeak towards something, right? Because one makes you look like a fool. The other makes you still look like a fool. That's either way, you look bad.
Well, I guess it's one makes you look like a fool. The other one proves that you are a fool.
Ooh, there you go. See? Yeah. Everybody, this is why Joel is a guest on here. He gets it better than most.
I'm just so wise.
Yeah, the wiseness, it just oozes.
The wiseness, yeah. The wisdom.
Yeah, that.
Wiseness.
The wiseness, he's got so much of it.
What is that, your John Travolta?
No, I don't know what it is. I think it's just like screwed up announcer, like baseball broadcaster. Could be a Harry Carey if you want.
Harry Carey.
Yeah. Joe Burkhardt out here proving his wisdom. His wiseness.
Scares me. That guy sounds like he's had a stroke. Talk out of half of his face.
Yeah. And then the last one here, a good thing sells itself, a bad one advertises itself.
I love that.
Yeah. That's very
you hear that, advertisers? Advertisers, bad.
Yeah. Advertising's horrible. Don't do it. Yeah.
And speaking of advertising, here's our local sponsor.
Exactly. Yeah. I was saying, speaking of advertising, always do podcasting with Anchor. Yeah. Man. Yeah. But anyway, those are the good, interesting quotes for Tanzania. Now, influences on Tanzanian cuisine. Basically, off of exotica.com, it says here about Tanzanian cuisine, you're probably wondering what to eat in Tanzania. As in most African countries, the scarce access of the population to resources has been an obstacle for the development of cuisine with its own personality, with the exception of some typical Tanzanian dishes, which are simple to make and rustic. National cuisine is mostly made up of Asian and European foods. Makes sense. The most traditional Tanzanian cuisine is Swahili cuisine, which is found on the coast and is a combination of Indian and Arabic influences. So it is actually different than most of the continent, staying away from the Asian European foods and going with more Indian and Arabic. Many of its typical dishes belong to Hindu cooking but are adapted to the ingredients of the area. The British influence is also prominent in the culinary customs of the country. Organizing what to eat in Tanzania if you are a vegetarian can be a bit more difficult.
My kind of country.
Now, Joe, we've got many vegan vegetarian friends.
That's true, but meat's really good.
Oh, it's so delicious. I actually, yeah, just tonight I made it was a chicken, teriyaki chicken yakisoba, basically, but I added a little bit more like toasted sesame seeds, and I put some of that banchan, like yuzu Japanese barbecue sauce on it.
Oh, okay.
Not a sponsor, but I wish they were. Banchan, if you guys have not tried banchans, it is amazing. It's a little bit thinner than teriyaki sauce, but a little bit thicker than soy sauce, and it just perfectly glazes everything. You put it on rice. Perfect. Put it on meat. Perfect. Put it on veggies. Perfect. You can grill it. You can saute it. Yeah. The squirt bottle. Amazing. Like, why don't more companies use those type of squirt bottles? I could go on for days. Their logo.
Banchan. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Their logo is a octopus with a headband and he's, you know, doing stuff. It's like, dude, yes. Like, this is perfect. So Banchan's, check it out. I'll admit it's not too cheap, but it's worth it. It's really worth it. It's super good. Hmm. But anyway, Tanzanian foods, we're getting back to it. Yeah, taking a look here, the 10 most popular Tanzanian foods from Taste Atlas. You got number one here, mchuzi wa samaki, which mchuzi wa samaki is a Swahili dish consisting of a fish that is cooked in a combination of onions, oil, garlic, curry powder, tomatoes, water, and lemon juice. The dish is often additionally flavored with freshly chopped coriander. After it has been properly prepared, mchuzi wa samaki is typically served hot with fluffy white rice on the side, ideally complementing the spicy, full-bodied sauce. As for the fish, any white fish will do, be it sea bass, cod, or red snapper. And I'll admit, this stuff looks great.
It looks good, but like the whole fish is in there. Is it not deboned?
Correct. Yeah, I got a feeling that in Africa anyway, most of the time they're cooking the whole fish. You know, they'll scale it and take you know, guts and what have you out. But they're going to do the whole fish mainly to get as much out of it as you can. I will say, if you're doing a whole fish, kind of like what you mentioned, you hope that it doesn't have too many bones. It's got to be a white fish that, you know, like cod, you can take a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of the bones out of cod. Sea bass, same thing. They're very visible. But yeah, good red you know, sauce. It's kind of orange. It does look very Indian. So
yeah, it's got the color of the curry. For right. Sure.
Totally.
Looks good.
But yeah, it does. It looks good. The next one here, Wali Wadnazi.
Is it Nazi or is it Nazi?
Don't know. It's spelled
Let's
hope for the latter. Yeah, it's spelled like Nazi, but hey, there's other words in front of it. Like, give them a break. It's Wali Wadnazi. Yeah, Wala Wadnazi. Is a starchy side dish consisting of rice cooked in a combination of coconut milk and water. I'm already sold. It is usually seasoned only with salt. This creamy dish is usually served as an accompaniment to various curries or chicken, fish, and meat dishes. It is a favorite amongst the Swahili people of East Africa, notably in Tanzania, Kenya, and Uganda. No image here, but it sounds like coconut rice. It's just not sticky.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be great, especially like,
that's the whitest thing on the menu. I'm sure that is. You're sold on that immediately. Just, oh, wow. Only with salt? Sweet.
And coconut, Joel.
Coconut. You said seasoned only with salt.
Well, so, yeah, true. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It sounds pretty white to me.
Listen, it's not as spicy as mayonnaise, but it'll do the job. Yeah, I'm sure.
Exactly.
but yeah, next one here, number eight. This says this is an egg dish, but I think this is a toss-up. This is chipsi mayai. Chipsi mayai, or chips and eggs, is a staple of Tanzanian street food. French fries are combined with eggs to make a dish that is similar to an omelet with fries dispersed throughout it. Alternatively, the dish can be made with an additional ingredients such as bell peppers or onions. It is typically served with kachumbari sauce on the side, consisting of tomatoes, chili peppers, and onions, so kind of like a salsa. If you are ever in Tanzania and see a big black wok filled with bubbling yellow oil in front of a restaurant, it is a pretty sure sign that the restaurant serves chips mayai. Yeah.
Huh. And that seems super interesting, and I really want to try it.
I know.
But also, it seems like something that I would make when I was high. Like, if I was able to make French fries, like, you know, really, you know, have them all battered up and fried. And then just be like, you know what, just shove them in some eggs and put them on a skillet.
Yeah.
But I mean, I bet it would be really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where after you've gone to like a burger place or you had to meet, you know, your weird, sad, drunk friend at an Applebee's, you've got leftover fries and you're just sitting there like, man,
you could really do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just leftover fries.
Yeah. Just leftover. You're reaching in the fridge and you're like,
I'm sure it's eggs. A lot better the way that they prepare it,
though. Oh, totally. Yeah, it's got to be. They actually care about it.
Yeah. But no, for me, I'd be like, I'm just throwing stuff in the pot.
I'm going to use some Cajun seasoning, these fried eggs.
Exactly.
You don't even put any oil. You're just like butter. Just, yeah. But
I would because I'm that bad of a chef.
Yeah. I'd spice it up, though. I'd add some mayo. That's for sure. Oh, man.
Cream cheese would be really good in it. Mm-hmm. Here, look at us colonizing this whole dish right now.
I know, right? Yeah. It's so fast. We just jump on the white stuff.
If this is like street food that you can get, that's got to be bomb.
Yes, like, exactly. Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
I could totally imagine if you make something like this and you've got that salsa type stuff, you put that in it and then – I don't know, cheese or something else. Basically, it's like I could see somebody wrapping this up and making it look like a wrap.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And it's just like a potato salsa, like breakfast burrito type of thing. But it's just made of egg. There's no starches besides the potato.
Yeah.
So there's no gluten.
One of those two major ingredients.
Yeah. There's no gluten. There's no bread. Just, you know. It's keto friendly.
No, but it's not, I'm sure it's good.
Yes. But yeah.
Who cares about keto anyway? That's not a real diet.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's doing keto. Wonder what that's about. Yeah. But anyway, the next one here, Ndizi na Nyama, is a stew. It's a popular Tanzanian dish using plantains or bananas, Ndizi, and meat, nyama, as the main ingredients. Apart from those, the stew is made with curry powder, cayenne pepper, oil, onions, tomatoes, tomato paste, and coconut milk. That all sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, man.
I'm just trying to think of, like, bananas with meat or plantains with meat.
Right. Plantains, like, as long as you fry the plantains, I can totally see with meat. When I think of raw banana with meat...
It's like sugary. It's sweet.
Right.
And then with the meat, savoriness, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It says the combination is simmered for a short time, and Ndizi na Nyama is then ready to be served, preferably with rice or ugali on the side. And we'll get to ugali here.
I was going
to
say, what is ugali?
Yeah, ugali's coming up.
Suspense.
Yeah. And then this one is a vegetable dish. It's Machimsho, I want to say.
I want to say that one, too, the second one.
Yeah, and it's a traditional dish from northern Tanzania consisting of numerous ingredients such as potatoes, green beans, carrots, bananas, tomatoes, cabbage, eggplant, sweet peppers, and a variety of spices. The name of the dish can be translated as something that is boiled. The vegetables are combined with meat or fish in order to make a full meal. In Tanzania, machimsho is considered a special dish made for special occasions since it is quite expensive compared to other dishes in the country. And I will admit that that probably would be very expensive.
Well, it's like you've got all these fruits and some of these vegetables, and then they're getting mixed with beef or chicken.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
That's probably going to run you up some money.
Yeah.
But I bet it'd be good.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah, I think this one's with beef. The picture here.
Yeah, it looks like a beef and a banana with a little bit of
like tomato. I think
a carrot.
Oh, is it a carrot? Oh, yeah, that's probably a little carrot.
Diced carrot.
Yeah, a little diced carrot. And then the next one here. I mean, another street food. Let's give it up. Zanzibar pizza.
Oh, yeah. Here I am.
Here I am. Yeah. And the wok that they've got here, which it's not a wok. It's kind of just – it's like a paella pan, really.
Yeah, it's a big round flat dish.
Yeah. Although it shares its name with the traditional Italian dish, this version from Zanzibar does not have much in common with Italian pizza. It is made unleavened dough that is stretched thin and filled with various ingredients. When filled, the sides are wrapped, and this pancake-like creation is then fried in ghee until it's golden crispy.
Dude,
oh man,
I love ghee.
Yeah,
that stuff's good.
Yeah, and in looking at the picture here, they've got mostly vegetables on the inside. I mean, that's
looks like a bunch of potatoes. Potatoes and peppers. That's what I meant. The other P word.
Yeah.
Peppers and onion.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see anything else, but I don't know.
It kind of reminds me, not because it looks like a pancake or whatever, because it's definitely dough, but like it kind of reminds me of okonomiyaki. You know, it just doesn't have cabbage and that kind of thing. But yeah, okonomiyaki, you make a pancake batter and then you put, you know, your cabbage, carrots, like anything you wanted, and then meat. And you throw that really spicy mayo on there. And
hey, they got mayo in this guy.
Yeah, they got mayo in this guy. Yeah. But yeah, spicy. The combination. Yeah, the combination of ingredients and the filling may include anything from meat such as beef or chicken, seafood, various vegetables, cheese, mayonnaise, or eggs. Sweet versions often consist of different combinations. They make a sweet version with bananas, yeah. Chocolate spread, mangoes, or peanut butter.
That's good. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Like fried in ghee, everybody. Fried in ghee.
That's good stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then number four here, mandazi. This one, it totally looks like a fried pizza dough.
Looks like a little Hot Pocket.
It does. It looks like a Hot Pocket. This African snack is very popular in countries such as Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya. The dough is made with sugar, flour, water, yeast, and milk or coconut milk. It can be additionally enriched with ingredients such as ground peanuts or almonds. After the dough has been shaped into triangles, circles, or ovals, it is fried in hot oil. Amen. Mandazi can be served for breakfast with tea, as a tasty appetizer before lunch, or even as a late night snack. It is often served with fruit flavored dips. Amen again. But when served as a dessert, mandazi is typically dusted with powdered sugar or cinnamon in order to add some sweetness to it. Yeah. So it's like a beignet. It's like a huge African beignet filled with almonds or peanuts.
I love
and
that.
Coconut milk. Yeah, that looks
good.
It's
gotta be good.
Yeah, the second they said, like, any type of fruity dips, love it. I love dipping donuts in, like, jam. Ugh.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It, some people, a lot of people give a jelly-filled donut a lot of a bad reputation. Let's be honest, right? You bite into it, you might get jelly coming out the other side. Sometimes you bite in the middle, there's no jelly, right? It's all dough. You're like, what is this crap? But
a donut.
Yeah, it's a donut.
Regular donut.
Just no hole.
One.
Yeah. Just, yeah. But you know, but if you grab a good glazed donut, hot donut as well, and just dip it into some like raspberry jam, blackberry jam,
you
strawberry.
Can get donuts nice, hot, and fresh from Krispy Kremes from North Carolina. It's a reference to another episode, folks.
That's a good one, Joel. Good job.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, you could. And I'm telling you, it's great. I'll admit, you want to probably do that at home. If you do it in public.
No, I'm going out with a jar of grape jelly, and I'm going to grab the free donut you get from Krispy Kreme that they make right there for you, and I'm going to dip it while staring at them longingly in their eyes.
As they order stuff, you're just on the other side.
Yeah, they're like, "Do you want to buy anything, sir?" And I say, "No, I think I got what I came here for.
I'm right where I need to be."
Do I need to buy anything for my free donut? And they say, "No, not necessarily." And then I say, "I'll have another one. Here's my vaccine card." You think I forgot about that Krispy Kreme? I didn't.
Didn't forget it. I'll
never
here
forget it. I'm gonna get my free vaccine donut for years to come.
Oh,
I'll get diabetes then. Finally, the battle has been won.
I have gained control of the diabetes.
Yeah, my insulin sensitivity is dead.
Yeah,
Krispy on to the Kreme, next one.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme is gonna have a fun time with you.
They'll probably bar me. They'll put a restraining order out for me. They'll be like, "Get that kid out of here."
Yeah, like Joel, why is your face on the door of Krispy Kreme? You're like, "Don't look at that."
Why is it on every door in a tri-state area? That's what you should be asking.
Yeah, yeah, that's just Timothy being really, really obnoxious.
Offender number one coming in with his slightly used jelly jar. Dipping hot donuts in there.
You don't even bring a utensil to like dig it out or anything. You're
no,
like, can I have a spork?
I don't even need a utensil. I'm just gonna like pack the thing in there and then like pull it out and have like a lot of trouble with it and get right. like jelly all over my fingers and stuff.
Getting it's on gonna the floor. Be, You're wiping remember, your hand on their glass.
No, I'm staring at them the whole right. time. I still right. haven't taken my eyes off the fellas.
Yeah.
Well, I should say women can work at Krispy Kreme too. So the people right. work in there. I haven't taken my eyes off of them.
Right.
And I'll be discussing about it. I'll be like, I dropped jelly all over the floor. I'm so sorry. And then I'll go to the bathroom and I'll drop more jelly in there.
Yeah. And then the people that are pulling out the donuts, they'll just look up at you and you're eating your donut with jelly on it. And they're like, sir, you have some jelly like on your mustache. And
on
you're
your
like, I know.
Belly. How did you get jelly on your belly? Yeah, my belly is jelly.
I know. Thanks I for know. Looking. That's it.
Maybe they should just like make an extra large bathroom stall for me to eat in my hot donut and jelly jar.
We call this the Joel stall.
Yeah. I'll be an attraction, a new attraction for Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme, so good you won't want to leave even when you need to go. You might want to cut this.
Not a sponsor, but Krispy Kreme, get you some donuts and bring a can of jelly.
Bring
what if
a
it
can
was a
of
soda
jelly.
Can?
What if it was a soda, a can, soda of can of jelly? What? How? Where did you? How did your mind get there?
I don't know, man.
You're demented.
It's a jar. It's a jar.
It's
Everybody
a jar.
Knows that jelly
it's
goes
not a
in a
soda
jar.
Soda can.
But it's a soda. But I thought can. I don't know why I thought can.
Well, it's got the cap. It's got the cap that can like
True.
Pop.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, like, that sounds disgusting. Yeah, exactly. You got jelly in a...
It's disgusting, but you know what? Devin said it tasted good, so I'll go ahead and try it.
It's delicious. It is really, really good, especially with Marionberry. Marionberry jam.
You're not sponsored.
I know, but I'm just saying, man.
That would be really good, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that would be amazing.
We got some donuts over
I paid $150 to get this pie here, so I'm going to use it how I see fit.
This is freedom. This
America at its best. Yeah. Performance in a Krispy Kreme.
Right, yeah. But no, I mean, like, we got some donuts freshly made at Easy Orchards, mm-hmm. and we brought those suckers home. I had a jar of Marionberry, you know, jelly, and I'm just like, this is going to be good. And I just grabbed my little pumpkin donut, dipped it in some Marionberry, and it was like a Marionberry pumpkin just smash-up. It was delicious. It was great. Yeah. So everybody should try that, and, you know... Joel will be at Christmas.
His thing, not my thing. Don't try my thing. Don't do that. That'll get you put on a list of some kind.
If you do, please
let
send
us
it
know.
To us. Yeah,
put it on Instagram and tag us online.
Exactly.
We'll,
tag
we'll feature it on our
combo.
Page, maybe.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Send and if you have a TikTok, send it to us. We will totally put it front page. I'll put it right
You'll
next
go
to the
viral,
trailer.
Kids. We promise.
Yeah. You'll get at least 20 clicks. Like, yeah. Oh, man.
You might get but a penny.
Anyway. Yeah, you might.
From the Creator Fund.
From the Creator
Wouldn't
Fund.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Woo-hoo!
I don't know why I'm slipping into a Caitlyn Jenner impression.
I don't know. But we're doing all right. We're making it. Culinary Convo. We're back in Tanzania. Meat dish. Mishikaki. Mishikaki.
Mishikaki?
Mishikaki. Yeah, it is. It looks like grilled meat. Amazing.
Yeah, it
already.
Looks like it's on a kebab.
Yes. The name of this popular Tanzanian and Kenyan street food dish, mishikaki, refers to skewered pieces of marinated meat, such as beef, goat, or mutton, that has slowly cooked over hot coals. The meat is marinated in a combination of various herbs and spices that are popular along Africa's eastern coast. The dish is most often enjoyed after dusk, with
yes.
when vendors start to sell mishikaki at their stalls.
My favorite time of day is night.
My favorite type of daytime is night. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff looks so good that you'd have to eat it after the sun goes down so no one can see what you're doing.
Well,
because it looks decadent.
It does. The second skewer, I can see the fat coming down a little bit on the thing. And it's like,
Yeah, like, it looked good.
Hi there, Juicy. I mean, meat.
Where kebab. You been all my life, Mishikaki?
Where you been, Mishikaki? Yeah. But yeah, they are accompanied by sauces or dips on the side. So you can dip it in. It'll be good.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
That just takes it over the top.
It does. It makes it so good. And then number two here on the list, mchicha. Mchicha is the most popular Tanzanian dish, which is odd because it's number two. So let's get this straight. This thick and creamy vegetarian meal is usually prepared with leafy vegetables such as amaranth or Ooh. Spinach, with added grated coconut milk. Man, grated. So that's what I see in there is grated coconut. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, coconut milk, peanut butter, tomatoes, and onions. It is recommended to serve mchicha with rice, ugali, or samp and beans on the side in order to make a satisfying main course.
It's a lot of stuff with peanut butter. So
yes.
George African, Washington Carver would be proud.
Totally. Well, and that's the thing is a lot of African like cooking and cuisine, they're using peanuts and peanut butter like savory. Yeah, like 95% of the time, it seems like. And then in America, it's the opposite. Like the only time we do savory peanut anything, it could be African food with different African restaurants, what have you. But it's mostly with like Vietnamese peanut sauce or Thai peanut sauce, like kind of thing. God,
I love peanut chicken. That's good stuff.
It is. It's amazing. I think America needs to expand more on the savory peanut. Yeah, like type of thing. I mean, it's great. And then the last one here, number one, as I mentioned, ugali. Yeah. Ugali is a unique polenta-like side dish and is a Tanzanian favorite, traditionally served for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, made by rolling.
Okay, so this is why this is number one. It's like a staple.
It is. Like, this is the thing. You know, it's made by rolling a tiny bit of creamy, thick cornmeal paste made from cooked white maize in a hand until it forms into a ball, making an indentation in it with a thumb. Ugali becomes an edible spoon that is often dipped into various stews and sauces. So it's kind of like fufu, right? That's the West Coast, right? And I think North Africa. The sign of a good ugali is that it doesn't stick to your fingers. The whole thing is usually dipped in a savory sauce, then placed in the mouth for consumption. Ugali is more than just a taste. It is a food culture in and of itself. This dish is usually served with whatever meat is available and mashed vegetables, stews, or sour milk. Sour milk. I'm guessing that's their version of like sour cream. If I had to bet.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. That would make sense. I'm like, I've had sour milk, and that made me not want milk ever again. So.
Ooh, golly, why would you do that?
Yeah. Ooh, golly, no.
And then some of the other ones on here. I looked at all Tanzanian dishes on Taste Atlas. There's 17 in total. There's a few that they hadn't gone over. The other one here, it's another fish dish. It's Sumaki wa Kupaka. Sumaki wa Kupaka is the name of a delicious Tanzanian dish consisting of fish that is grilled over charcoal. So one, didn't know they're doing like grilled charcoal barbecue fish out here. Then served with a coconut sauce. The fish is usually marinated in garlic, ginger, salt, oil, and lime before being placed on the grill. Yeah. So really good stuff on that. I mean, why wouldn't we want to go for that? Then the next one here is Mchizi wa Biringani. Mchizi wa Biringani is a Tanzanian eggplant curry that is traditionally prepared with the addition of onions, curry powder, garlic, ginger, chili peppers, potatoes, and tomatoes, and either with coconut milk or yogurt. The curry is simmered until the sauce is thick. So, yeah, Mchuzi. And that's the other thing, too, is I wonder if they just short, like, Biringani. They just say that, or do they say Mchuzi? You know?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah. And then there is Supu ya Nditsi, which is a soup. So, soup. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Is a vibrant colored Tanzanian soup with mashed green plantains and chicken stock. To make things even more simple, it is usually seasoned only with salt and pepper. This soup is typically served at breakfast time in large bowls. Yeah. So get you some of that supuya nidizi. And then the side dish, nidizi kayanga, which, by the way, more nidizi, more plantain and banana. They're just going off on this stuff. Nidizi kayanga is a popular Tanzanian meal that is typically consumed as a snack or a side dish accompanying larger meals. It consists of fried plantains that are usually unsweetened, but a pinch of sugar can be added to the plantains before frying. And so it's just fried, you know, plantains and banana. Mm. They're doing good. They know what they want.
A lot of those.
Yeah, yeah. They got a lot of it. It's, you know, it's their thing. It's just their thing.
Is it?
You know, maybe. It's kind of like your thing with Krispy Kreme, right? Like,
No. My thing with Krispy Kreme was an entirely fake scenario that I created on the fly. This seems like it's different. Something that's real.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, fine. The next one here that I've got is through PembreyTours.com for traditional Tanzanian foods. Tanzanian palau, much like Kenyan palau, it draws its influence from the Indian rice dish, and it differs from its Indian counterparts through the use of more spices. Rice is cooked in stock and then flavored with spices such as cinnamon, cloves, cardamom, and pepper. Chicken, meat, fish, or eggs may be added. It is not a staple dish. It is usually only made when there is a special celebration or ceremony. And then under snacks and specialties, under Taste Atlas, taking a look at four most popular side dishes, taking a look here, you've got good old Wali Na Maharaj. Wali Na Maharaj is a Tanzanian dish made with red beans and rice. So if anybody knows anything about Cajun cooking, you know red beans and rice is kind of a big thing. So origination-wise, you're definitely looking at Africa, probably, as one of its big contributors. The rice is usually cooked with coconut milk or oil, while the beans are cooked until mushy. The dish is seasoned with a variety of spices such as pepper, cardamom, cinnamon, cloves, and cumin. It can be served as an accompaniment to vegetables, fish, or meat. It looks great. That's my main thing. It looks kind of healthy-ish, right?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm thinking. You know? It looks really healthy.
Yeah.
But not it's a like lot of colors going on here.
Yeah. It's like red beans and rice, though, man. Yeah. Of course, they add like a roux sauce type of thing. You know, they do it.
Okay, different strokes for different folks. It's nothing I would be jumping in line for.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you would expect it as just like a side. Like, you're not paying separate for that. Right. No. Yeah.
I ain't even seeking that out. I'll eat it if it's on my plate, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another snack or specialty here, which the picture off of Pembury Tours here, I just want to jump through the screen and grab it. It reminds me of summer. Mahindi ya Kuchoma is a Tanzanian take on corn on the cob. Corn is slow roasted over open coals until it starts to char. It is then drizzled with lime and pepper or lemon chili salt. It is delicious, and if you're looking for the tastiest version, buying from a street vendor is the way to go. Yeah.
That'd be pretty dang good.
Yeah, it would be very, very good. It kind of reminds me in a way of, what do they call that? It's Mexican street corn.
No clue. I can't remember if we've talked about it before.
Yeah, man.
It's not in my brain.
I know. Anyway.
Just say Mexican street corn.
It is. It's Mexican street corn. I want to say the like authentic name for it. It's escaping me right now. But anyway, Mexican street corn. It looks like that before you add, you know, your cheese and the mayo spread. Spicy, right? So super spicy. Yeah. Then the next segment here, we're going to dessert land. We're going to desserts.
Yay.
We got two here. Mandazi, which is an East African equivalent of the donut, which we talked about Mandazi earlier, but this one, it is except without any icing or frosting, right? Mm-hmm. It is fried coconut bread made with coconut milk, flavored with cardamom, and a sprinkling of fresh coconut flakes. These sweet treats have a fluffy texture and can be eaten at breakfast, as a snack, or dessert. They are best enjoyed with a cup of tea or chai, as the locals call it. So, yeah. In the picture of it, I got to admit, it looks refreshing even though it's fried dough. How does that happen?
You know? It just seems like it might be like light.
Yeah.
Something, especially if you're having it with tea. If you're having that with tea, that's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. And then the next one here, we got Tanzanian pie, which, looking at the recipe, I found it on recipes.fandom.com under the recipes wiki. Tanzanian pie, the ingredients, it is 1.5 cups of papaya or guava, or you could do apricot nectar, 4 tablespoons of cornstarch, 4 tablespoons of lemon juice, and 4 tablespoons of sugar, and then 1/2 teaspoon of salt. You dissolve the cornstarch in the lemon juice, add to the nectar, and cook until thick. Add 2 cups of diced fresh fruit. So you can do papaya, pineapple, melons, oranges, and then you cool it to a room temperature. And then you spread with 1 cup of heavy cream whipped with 4 tablespoons of sugar. So it's like, it's almost like just sweetened condensed fruits with whipped cream over the top. And yum. Sugar. Yeah, and like when I hear that, it's like, yeah, that's not really a pie, but at the same time, like, I don't care, I'd still eat it. Like, that still sounds delicious. Like,
it's dessert.
It's dessert. I'm up. Yeah, and I could imagine if you add like cinnamon to this, probably still really good, you know? Yeah. The comments here from a fandom user in 2010 was amazing, and then another fandom user commented in 2011, almost a year later, and said, "Oh, really?"
Conversation from over a decade ago, folks. Right, the internet was a different place.
It was a different place, and they're both random fandom users. So we'll never know who they are.
They might be dead now. That's who we're talking about, because it's been over a decade.
Joel, why would they be dead?
Because they were really old.
11 years. Really old. Sorry. Yeah, that's
They're
true.
Fandom users. There's no way.
That's true. Yeah, there's no way. Yeah.
Those people were on a pension when they wrote those.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
I bet you anything it says a fandom user because their account got like axed because they're not with us anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. See, man, I know things.
I hate when you're right. I have to deal with it. Deal with your wiseness.
Is that even still like a used website at all?
Yeah, it's got 42,983 pages. And the reason why I like Recipes Wiki under Recipes Fandom mainly is because it talks about stuff that like mom and dads used to make, which is a lot of what any like comfort foods really come from.
Yeah.
I know that there's like authentic, you know, Mandazi or some of those other things, and that's true, but like kind of like what some of these said, like some of these recipes, like it was for a special occasion, and if you didn't grow up in that kind of life, it was like, yeah, but like I had it because I latched onto a buddy of mine that had a sister or a cousin that got married to this guy, like, you know, like that's the only otherwise I always had this, right? And yeah. So it was kind of like, this is a good place to find those things that you make at home, you made it with family. Yeah, Tanzanian pie, totally could see this being made in just, you know, your nice little home kitchen. Yeah, you got granny walking around being like, you know, I'm not making an actual pie. I ran out of Mandazi dough. I'm just going to make Tanzanian pie. I got fruit. I got cornstarch. Let's do this, you know? And then just go at it. But yeah. And then the next segment here, drinks in Tanzania. What to drink in Tanzania? It is from the worldinmypocket.co.uk. It has the most popular Tanzanian drinks. You have Tanzanian coffee. Over 70% of the coffee that Tanzania produces is Arabica, right? coffee, which originates from small farmers providing employment to over 2.4 million citizens directly. The Tanzanian coffee is sold the most to Japan, Italy, and the U.S. So we are big contributors to Tanzanian coffee. Yeah, there's even a coffee tour on the slopes of Kilimanjaro. Yeah, that's right. You got to get your coffee on so you can get to the top.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to say. I'm like, I'm not ever going to get up here without a caffeine rush.
Right, yeah. It does say the smell of roasting coffee spreading through the air is so inviting that if you close your eyes, you can imagine being in the fanciest coffee shop and not in the jungle of Tanzania. See, that sounds like a dig.
I don't think that would work for me.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like a dig world in my pocket. Why not imagine you're in Tanzania?
If I was in a jungle in Tanzania, I'm not only going to be like adversely aware of my surroundings just to make sure that I don't get like pounced on or anything.
Right.
But like I'm going to be with a tour and just like struggling to keep up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how I would probably be. Yeah. But yeah. And then the next one here, Sparletta soft drink. It says here, copyright 2001, the Coca-Cola Company. So Coca-Cola might have its hand in Sparletta.
It does. It says 2000. Yeah, yeah, it's the Coca-Cola Company. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Why don't we have Sparletta in Europe is beyond my understanding, says the writer.
Because of certain chemicals that you ban.
Probably. Yeah, the drink has yellow sparkling drinks.
Yeah, so it's yellow number dye. 45 or
exactly.
Whatever the
heck. Yeah, yeah. Yellow 31. We can't have it.
And just it's actually carcinogenic, so get it out of here. And I'm like, good on you. But Tanzania and probably the United States are rocking hard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're still riding the yellow dye train.
Yes. We're any dye. We love dyes.
Any dye, we like it.
I just need some color in my life.
Everything is brown.
That's like the planet that we're on.
Yeah.
Brown rock.
Brown rock. Yeah.
Surprising.
Surprising. But yeah, the yellow Sparletta is a pine nut. Yeah, Sparletta pine nut is a soft drink that tastes like pineapple with coconut.
That's pretty awesome, actually. I don't care how much yellow 31 you have in there.
Right.
I'll try it.
Yeah.
And I don't even like soda.
Yeah. And it goes very well mixed with rum for an easy pina
colada. There we go. I was about to say, can you mix it with alcohol?
Yep.
So, because that's my favorite way of consuming soda.
Totally.
If you have it with alcohol, then I'll be like, oh, okay.
When I was a kid, you know, throwing back Diet Cokes, Diet Dr. Peppers, Mountain Dews, whatever, I could do it.
All you were
nowadays,
thinking was, I wish I had some alcohol in this.
Right. Yeah. That's, I mean, you know, and now that I'm an adult, it's like the only time I drink soda is with alcohol. It has to go with alcohol. Yeah. And so
we need water. That's why we're like, I'm dehydrated.
Yeah. I need water.
I need water.
All the time. All the time.
Constantly.
Sparletta is a popular brand around the continent, especially in South Africa, where besides the pine nut flavor, you can also buy cream soda, cherry plum, apple, blackcurrant, and strawberry. So, yeah, Sparletta, you know, soft drink. It's good. Fruity drink. Then there is Kilimanjaro beer, which, by the way, the bottle, big and bulky. Like it. Big, thick can bottle, right? Just
didn't know that was a sticking point for you, Devin.
You
thick
buys. There's something about a big bottle that makes you think you're getting more beer. You're not. Mm. It's just thicker glass.
Yeah.
But there's something about it that you're like, yeah, beer.
It's actually a good point. They should.
Yeah.
Everybody should take note. Just like if you want to sell beer, but you don't want to actually sell that much beer.
Right.
Just thicken the glass.
Thicken the glass. I think it's more premium. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
You'll fool suckers like Devin into
buying
more of your
soda. You know how we talked about how advertising is evil earlier? It suckers me in every time. But yeah, most of the beers in Tanzania have names such as Safari, Serengeti, Ndovu, or Elephant. But there is none like Kilimanjaro. There is something about having a cold Kili. Oh my gosh, Kili. After a full day of exploring and sweating in the high temperatures, I enjoyed having Kilimanjaro beers on the rooftop of the We Travel Hostel in Moshi, socializing with other guests Kilimanjaro beer is a pale lager, very refreshing, with 4.5% alcohol. It is Tanzania's most known and sold beer. Loved by both locals and tourists, it is an easy beer to drink and costs around 2,500 shillings, or £80, for a large bottle. £0.8 So a little under a dollar. And the supermarket, or 3,000 pounds, or 1 pound, or 3,000 shillings, 1 pound, in the pub. In Zanzibar, expect to pay around 6,000 shillings, or 2 pounds, for it in a bar or at your resort. So Kilimanjaro beer, killing it in profits, more like it. Like, you hear those numbers?
Is so it killing shillings. It in profits? It's like a little shillings. Over a dollar.
Yeah, yeah. In Africa, that's probably big money, man, especially in Tanzania, you know?
Maybe.
Well, and I will say, it's through shillings. So maybe through the pound, it's not very much. But in shillings...
It clearly isn't. It's only 2 pounds for...
Yeah, for a huge bottle of... Well, same bottle. Remember, it suckered me in, guys. I keep saying big bottle.
He's not thinking with his frontal lobe here. This stuff's dirt cheap for us, so it's probably relatively like cheap for them too. But you know, it will eat into their budget a little bit more.
Right, right. And then the next one here, Konyagi. Konyagi is, it says, I stumbled upon Konyagi during the 4-day safari I experienced in the Serengeti National Park and Ngorongoro Conservation Area. Our cook has bought a bottle at a tiny shop at the checkpoint of Serengeti and brought it to us over dinner. It was a Christmas day, after all. It is hard to explain what Konyagi is. It's a hard spirit, so 35% alcohol, but it's not vodka, and it's not gin, and it's not rum, but it can be a substitute for all. In Zanzibar, most of the cocktails were made with konyagi, as it is very cheap. Konyagi is a very strong drink with an actual pleasant sweet aroma with hints of cinnamon and vanilla. However, it tastes kind of citrusy. Drink too much of it and you will wake up with a headache to remember the locals promised us. I personally mixed konyagi with mango juice, which made it taste much more pleasant and less strong than on its own. Konyagi's tagline is the spirit of the nation, so you must have it at least once during your trip to Tanzania.
Huh.
There's a ritual of opening the bottle of konyagi by slapping its bottom 3 times to release the spirit within. Once the glasses are filled, lay the bottle on the table horizontally before you are ready to drink again. The bottle of konyagi is actually flat, so it stands easily on its side on the table. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Like, that's why in the picture, it's just laying down on the table.
I get some of that.
I know. It sounds super interesting, doesn't it? Citrusy, cinnamony, but like vanilla.
It is super interesting, and also 35% alcohol.
Mmm, delicious.
That's what I'm talking about. That's just efficiency there, folks.
It is. And he talks about mixing it with like mango juice. Like,
yeah, if it's citrusy, then I can have that with mango juice, orange juice, pineapple juice, all three.
Totally. Yeah. In Tanzania, red wine, very popular. It's made around Dodoma, so the capital of the country. For the native grape, that is Makutupura, a red dry variety which grows in sandy soil with low humidity. And other grapes that grow in Tanzania are the Syrah, the Cabernet Sauvignon, and Chenin Blanc, used for the white sweet wines. So, yeah. And then there is Tanzanian sweet white wine, same grapes as we mentioned before. And then the most curious drink I have found here, Mbege, or banana beer, which if you go to the United Republic of Tanzania.com, they talk about Mbege. It is a unique and Chaga traditional beer. The Chaga people come from the hills at the base of Mount Kilimanjaro, Africa's highest mountain. The Chaga tribe also has a unique tradition, and that is Mbege. The alcoholic beverage Mbege is made from sprouted millet powder and ripe bananas, often referred to as banana beer, but with a taste more like wine. Traditionally, Mbege is brewed only by women, It is a very time-consuming process and labor-intensive. Specific bananas are harvested from the farm to make mbege. There is a specific type of banana used called Ndizi Ngombe, which means cow bananas. Bananas are stored in a warm, dark place to ripen after they are harvested. Bananas can take up to 7 days to reach adequate ripeness, depending on the prevailing weather conditions. After they're ripe, the banana skins are removed and the bananas are put in a big pot of water to cook. The bananas are initially yellowish-white, but after about 6 hours of cooking, they turn reddish-brown, and the banana mix is then poured into a container and left to ferment for several days. Whilst fermenting, the finger millet is produced. The millet is normally put inside a plastic sheet to germinate. Once sprouted, the millet is dried in the sun, crushed to a fine powder to make flour. So far, no drink yet.
It seems super intensive.
It does, yeah. When white bubbles appear on the surface of the banana mixture, it is ready. This is often the stage when the men will be asked to assist with filtering the liquid through a local sieve. To make a thick porridge, millet flour is mixed with some water. This is the last step needed to successfully prepare the brew. The millet banana mixtures are mixed together, and a few strips of quinn bark are also added and left overnight. The quinine adds a slightly bitter taste to the beer. The brew is then ready to be drunk as mbege on the following day. On the first day, mbege content is usually between 0.5 and 1.5%.
Not enough.
Yeah, we need to go back to the other one that was 35. Yeah. Way less intensive as well. Yeah.
Looking up where to buy this stuff.
I'm already looking to get me a bottle. But yeah, it's made, with the Wamoru people who live on the slopes of Mount Meru. They also consider mbege to be part of their culture. People from the villages can be found on the lower dips of Kilimanjaro selling mbege. It is usually part of a traditional lobola before the wedding takes place. It is drunk at weddings, funerals, birthdays, and business meetings. You know, the typical places. Mbege is normally shared, so when a group of people sit around, they usually share one or two glasses, passing them around until more is needed. No longer with COVID. But no, mbege, the thing that I notice about it, it just looks chalky. Like there's little bits of stuff in it.
It looks viscous. That's
right. Yeah. Right. It looks like a paste almost. It doesn't look like a drink. It's
thick.
It's very thick. Very thick. And then obviously Joel, he's already looking for a bottle of that favorite liquor. He's getting a plane ticket. He's on the way, but he's like, you know what? Before I do that and spend all my money, I got to figure where I'm going to eat in Tanzania. So first off, he starts looking, he figures out that Dar es Salaam is the largest city in Tanzania. And he is probably going to go first to 305 Karafu. 305 Karafu is African seafood, $2 signs to $3 signs, here on TripAdvisor. You got 314 reviews. It says not easy to find for every taxi, but tell him it's near Kinondoni B station. You hear that, everybody? Kinondoni B station. That's where you go. And then you can also tell the taxi or Uber driver that it is near the Twitter bar, and they will know. Yeah. So it knows itself by the Twitter bar or the Kinondoni B station. And it just looks like a pretty relaxed little bar. It's got a lot of different foods, a lot of sausages, it looks like. Kind of interesting. And then there's a lot of, white tourists and black cooks. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get from this place. Number two is Karambezi Cafe. It is bar and seafood. Once again, $2 signs, $3 signs. Says it has a nice view and a good breeze, I'm guessing is what they tried to say. But it says brise. I don't think brise is a food or a drink. And it says it's of an Indian restaurant in the same. don't know what that means. And they're taking safety measures. So they say they're taking safety measures. But yeah, it's right on the ocean. A lot of seafood, it looks like. Big bar area. Let's see here. Are you going to show pictures of the food? I'm seeing the bar. Oh, there you go. Fried fish, fried plantains. Looks like a resort type of place. There's pies.
Yeah, and it chocolate. Does look like a resort.
Yeah. And then number three here, Addis and Dar. It is African Ethiopian food. It is authentic Ethiopian cuisine in a charming something or other. And it says amazing Ethiopian restaurant. And it does look like a good Ethiopian restaurant. It does. It's got the what do they call that? Man, I am at a loss of words today. Don't know why. But yeah, but basically the little like pancakey, you know, crepe type dough that you dip all your things into the Ethiopian, you know, stews and stuff for. Yeah, it does. It looks very, very good. They've got the big basket type of thing so you can eat all of your good little stews. So yeah. So now Joel knows where he's going for his three restaurants.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, he has to know.
I'm definitely going on a trip because I can definitely afford it.
You sound very confident, Joel.
Yeah, I'm very rich.
You know, I was thinking about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, but then I was like, you know what? That sounds like too much effort. I'll just have my assistant do it and then have him take the pictures, and then I can just photoshop myself in later.
Totally. Know, just... Yeah, that's, I mean... Yeah, and that's the thing is most of the time you're wearing so much equipment. How do they even know it's you?
Yeah, and my assistant's thinner than me, so it's just going to look better if he right. does it.
Yeah. See, once again, Joel showing his wiseness.
This is my wiseness. Showing it off.
Showing off my wiseness. Oh, man. But, yeah, so anyway, Joel, I know you're flying out tonight, so Monday. Yeah,
because I'm very wealthy and I have a private plane.
Right. You're very wealthy. And basically the best flight for you from Portland PDX to Dar es Salaam, the best flight here is $1,716 for a
peasants
30
money. That's nothing
for a 30-hour flight. And by the way, that's the best and the quickest flight. The cheapest flight is $1,538 for 39 hours on a plane.
Woo!
Yeah. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do what I did with my brother in Slovakia here. I'm going to go out into the future, May. So let's do May 1st. That's a Sunday.
That's
you're going to
stay.
Birthday.
I'm not going anywhere on my
birthday.
You're
silly. Going to Tanzania.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. So May 2022, you got Sunday the 1st. You're going until the 14th because you're like, bruh. I need 2 weeks. I gotta have 2 weeks.
So I'm gonna
have
to go through a 39-hour flight.
Maybe.
Then,
maybe.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay there for a while.
Right. And so now, since we've kicked it out, right, you're into May, because you're like, I know I can't go right away. That's fine. But I'm gonna figure this out the best way that I can. You figure out that the best cost is actually the cheapest flight. So the best and the cheapest flight are one in the same. It's 23. Actually, no. Okay. So it updated. Kayak's updating on me constantly. The best flight is 23 hours and 21 minutes and it's $1,338 round trip.
Okay.
Yeah. Just
very
for yourself.
Expensive, but you know, it's fine.
Yeah. The cheapest flight is $1,148. So you're saving about
$200.
Yeah, $190, you know. And it's 26 hours. So, yeah. And then the quickest flight. So you're like, I want a quickest time.
I'm going to get there tomorrow.
It is the same as the best flight. It's $1,338. So, yeah. So, you know, for 2 weeks, you pay a little over $1,000 and you're going to stay in Tanzania and have the best time and climb Mount Kilimanjaro for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You nailed it, man. You're going via kayak. And once you land there, Joel, just know the average daily cost per person is about 199,298 Tanzanian shillings.
So like $100
Yeah, something like that. So what it says via budgetyourtrip.com, it says you should plan to spend around $199,000 or $86 a day on your vacation to Tanzania, which is the average daily price based on the expenses of other visitors.
Past Give me that travelers. Number one more time.
Yeah, 199,298 Tanzanian shillings or $86 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. past travelers have spent on average $49,000, so $21, on meals for one day. And about 30,666 Tanzanian shillings or $13 on local transportation. So, you know, what is that, $34 for riding around and for food?
Not too bad.
Average hotel price for a couple in Tanzania is 201,000 shillings or $87. And so a trip to Tanzania for two people for 1 week costs around 2,790,000 Tanzanian shillings, which is about $1,203. So, yeah, not too bad. Not too shabby.
Book your trips right now.
Right. Yeah. And via thetripcost.com, they kind of say that over a three-day trip to Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, it's about $398 for a solo traveler. And it says that the hotels range from $82, so a little bit less than the $87, to $205 a night. The average is about $102 a night. And it says Airbnb rentals will cost about $26 a night. Like,
it's cheap.
Wow. Yeah, for an entire apartment. It says we recommend budgeting $48 per person for a taxi, public transportation, and local restaurant. So pretty close to what the other website had said. It says that as a solo traveler staying in a hostel, it'll be about $9 to $11 a night. So even cheaper.
I would rather stay in the hostel, probably, just because you get to meet people that are traveling and stuff that way. So,
yeah, yeah. But
part of the trip that can be exciting for folks that want to travel. Hostels are a very cool way to do it.
They are.
And cheap.
Yeah, and cheap. Yeah. And so, yeah. But basically, before we start looking at where we are going next after we leave Tanzania, I had a last note of interest for Tanzania. Tanzania has made some progress towards reducing extreme hunger and malnutrition. The Global Hunger Index ranked the situation as alarming, with a score of 42 in the year 2000. Since then, the GHI has declined to 29.5. Children in rural areas suffer substantially higher rates of malnutrition and chronic hunger, although urban-rural disparities have narrowed as regards both stunting and underweight. Low rural sector productivity arises mainly from inadequate infrastructure investment, limited access to farm inputs, expansion services and credit, limited technology, as well as trade and marketing support, and heavy dependence on rain-fed agriculture and natural resources. Approximately 68% of Tanzania's 61.1 million citizens live below the poverty line of $1.25 a day, or 32%, or sorry, that had a period. That was the end of a sentence, everyone. $1.25 a day. 32% of the population are malnourished. The most prominent challenges Tanzania faces in poverty reduction are unsustainable harvesting of its natural resources, unchecked cultivation, climate change, and water source encroachment, according to the United Nations Development Program, or UNDP. There are very few resources for Tanzanians in terms of credit services, infrastructure, or availability to improved agricultural technologies, which further exacerbates hunger, poverty in the country, according to the UNDP. Tanzania ranks 159 out of 170 countries, or 187 countries, in poverty, according to the United Nations Human Development Index via 2014. The 2019 World Bank report showed that in the last 10 years, poverty had reduced by 8 percentage points, from 34.4% in 2007 to 26.4% in 2018. A further report showed a reduction to 25.7% in 2020. And so they're making a lot of strides towards the hunger and the poverty that is fairly rampant within the area. And the main thing I think that a lot of folks try to deal with that, or they try to talk about it and go over it and those kinds of things, is kind of how a lot of folks can help. And I will say, over the years, I think that's gotten very muddled and confusing. There's a lot of NGOs, right? And there's a lot of different, you know, missionary work type, what have you, that goes out there. But you hear all these stories of, like, how do I support them directly? And it kind of sounds like through agriculture and food, so the coffee, you know, that they make, their Arabica coffee, that might be a little bit more direct, unless you are very knowledgeable in nonprofits and those kinds of things that are going to these countries to help out. And if anybody works for these types of places, hit us up. Let us know on culinaryconvopod@gmail.com. Because I would love to share more resources on culinaryconvo.com, where you can listen to our episodes as well as check out our merch shop. And so, Joel, what do you think of Tanzania?
A very interesting country. They got some really interesting dishes and stuff that I'd really want to try.
Yeah.
Lots of peanut butter and, like, plantain stuff. Their alcohol sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And the desserts look good as always. But then there's a lot of the main food dishes that I think would be pretty dang good.
Yeah. And it's got Kilimanjaro. It's got the national parks there. So you can see some of your animals, some of your critters. And it's on a coast, you know?
Yeah.
It's got Zanzibar. On
the coast.
Yeah.
I don't need to see all the animals or the mountain. I'm fine. I'll hang out next to the water and just sunbathe for a little while.
Oh my gosh, Joel, look, it's a giraffe. You're like, I'm drinking.
I could not care.
I am here to drink and look at water. Thank you.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is all I'm here for. Goodbye.
Come on and have some konyagi.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
Lay the bottle flat. You don't even have to keep the bottle standing up. You just lay. That's probably why it's so popular. Is it's like, I don't even have to keep the bottle up. I can just lay it down.
Well, yeah. I mean, you just lay it down because you're already so drunk from the first bottle you drank.
I mean, it's vanilla, cinnamon, rum, whiskey, vodka. It's everything. It's the perfect thing.
I try and buy it, but then it's like, it just says the number 650, and I don't know what that means.
So it doesn't tell you, like, the currency of 650.
It's KSH, whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Just for the audience.
Yeah, just in case you guys were wanting to buy. But yeah, so now we go to Joel's favorite part, the random country generator.
Yeah.
So right now.
Kenyan shillings, that's what that is.
Oh, Kenyan shillings. Okay, makes sense. Yeah.
So it cost me, like, how much? Oh, my God, it's dirt cheap. It's like
really?
$8 for a bottle.
What about with shipping costs?
That is with shipping costs.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, man!
$845, and I typed in $850, so it's not even that much. $845. It's $7.37.
Oh my gosh.
It's been drastically raising in price.
See, now I wonder, is it legal to have it come to the U.S.?
Yeah, this is it's Oaks and Corks.
Oaks and Corks! Everybody, go to Oaks and Corks. Get you some Tanzanian liquor. It's going to be great. I can go with that price. Of course, how big is the bottle? How big is the bottle?
It looks pretty small. Let me go back to the page. Oh, no. 750 milliliter.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, man.
See, we got two customers' reviews, and they're both 5 stars.
Once again, one Joel
just says
showing
good.
His wiseness. One just says good.
It's the rating. Good.
5 stars.
5 stars. Good. Verified purchase.
I'm surprised they didn't say, I can lay the bottle on the table.
Konyagi is my best drink. One of my most underrated drink. Problem is that most of the counter is fake, but with Oaks and Corks, you get a genuine product.
Wow. Nice. There you go. Konyagi for everybody.
No need for chasers. I do hot water and lemon lime.
Wow.
With it for fad. I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
for
I don't fad? Know. For fade?
No, faded. It's F-A-D. Faded. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. No, that you need to show the link to me. I might put it up on culinaryconvo.com through Oaks and Corks. Get you some kanyagi. But yeah. But no, so right now it's on Liberia, the random country generator. Okay. Where do you think we're headed to next?
I hope it's Russia.
Russia?
Wow. Yeah, just for
the controversy of it
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Just for the controversy, please.
Am I the drama? I don't think I'm the
I don't
drama.
Think I'm the, I don't think I'm the drama. No. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that it's going to go. There's a part of me that thinks it's going to go to South America.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you we'll do see. You, boo.
All right. You ready?
Ready.
Let's hit it. Next random country is Afghanistan.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. Afghanistan. There's got to be some great stuff through this. Population 38 million. It's 37th country by population. It is the 41st largest by square kilometers. And, of course, the capital is Kabul. So, yeah, Afghanistan, it is the next country on mapping the culinary world. We are leaving Tanzania to go to Afghanistan. Yep. Might have Joel on that episode. It's more of his...
All this sad stuff.
All the sad stuff. No. We will have.
Look at a country we've absolutely demolished twice in the last 40 years. How fun.
Fun. That's kind of the middle, isn't it? Like, you know, America didn't do anything. Like, I say didn't do anything. We did a direct thing. Yeah. I should say we didn't, like, outright win a war there. Neither did Russia. It's kind of like the middle in between there, you know? Yeah. So, Afghanistan.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we will see everybody next time. Joel, once again, thank you so much for hopping on and running through Tanzania with me and getting some good Tanzanian liquor. And we will see everybody next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Everybody, goodbye. You gotta know that you're gonna be here next time on Mapping the Culinary Everywhere.
Is this your outro?
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.